This is the IBJ podcast brought to you by Resultant, formerly KSM Consulting, for the week of June 27th, 2021. Mason King is out this week. I'm Leslie Weidenbender, the editor of IBJ. And in Mason's absence, we're bringing you an interview that our hospitality reporter, Mickey Shuey, did last week with John Downs, who is the CEO of the National Confectioners Association. That's the group that organizes the annual Sweets and Snacks Expo. Last week, for the first time, the group brought the trade show to Indianapolis. Now, typically, the Sweets and Snacks Expo is held in Chicago, although it was canceled last year due to the pandemic, like so many other things. The expo was originally scheduled to return to Chicago this year, but the city couldn't commit to being ready to host the event as it struggled to recover from the pandemic. So Indianapolis stepped in. Mickey talks with John about how the group picked Indianapolis and what the experience has been like here. Plus, he asks John about the chances that the expo will return to the city. Here's their conversation.
We're sitting here in the convention center, and just over our shoulders is the exhibit halls. What was it like for you guys last year as you were trying to figure out how to navigate the pandemic? Let's just kind of start from the beginning of when the pandemic hit. Where were you in the planning stages for your event at that time? And kind of how did it all shake out?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great question. I think everyone in the trade show business, right, it was a very, very uncertain time. It was a very scary time. But, you know, last year, late spring, early summer, I mean, the whole world was focused, as our members were and as we were, the whole world was focused on safety, right? So it was all about, you know, being safe first, trying to do whatever we could, right, in all of our ways, both personal and professional, to make sure that our families were safe, make sure that our employees were safe, and so that was the, you know, that, I mean, that was first and foremost, right? For those of us trade associations and other organizations in the trade show business, obviously, this is the biggest, whatever you want to call it, the biggest black swan that we've ever seen, the biggest disruption that we've ever seen, the most challenging time for this, you know, for this segment and sector of the trade show business. So, we had just finished canceling the show in 2020. We were very uncertain about what was going to happen as the evolution of this pandemic was taking hold across the world and in the United States. And so we had a board meeting in July last summer, and the team was getting ready to talk to our board about, you know, about options as it relates to what we could do, what we might do, what was maybe possible in 2021. And as we were, you know, surveying the landscape, looking at all the external things that were happening, we knew that that Chicago was having some trouble in Chicago related to what was going on in the pandemic. And when, you know, we found out McCormick Place was turned into a hospital, to talk about all that, we were like, holy smokes. So I said to the board, I said, I think we might have a problem even executing a show in 2021 in Chicago. And I said, do you want us to begin to explore, you know, other options? And that's how the discussion started as it relates to looking at other options in the U.S. to have a trade show. And then what we were talking about is we thought the later we could go, right, because normally our show is in May, the later we could go, hopefully we would have this pandemic under control where we could be able to execute a successful and safe show. And so that's how the process began.
So going from that to ultimately landing here in Indianapolis, how many suitors did you have for the show? Did you have the option of being kind of more or choosing like we're looking here, here, and here, rather than all these cities coming to you?
Yeah, we had the cities coming to us, right? So we had the other cities coming to us about a possibility, right? Because obviously, you know, the trade show business, people were seeing what was going on, like we were seeing on our radar screen. And so we had the other cities where they were reaching out, engaging with our team. But we also wanted to try to make sure that we stayed in the Midwest, because we've always had the show in Chicago. This is our 24th year. Next year is our 25th year. Celebrate our 25th year. And we were looking at, you know, the Midwest because we get a significant amount of drive-in traffic from all the classes of trade, you know, and retail buyers in this area. And so a lot of people come and drive. And so this is a short drive, right, from Chicago to Indianapolis. And so the team, we were looking at all these other different cities, and Indianapolis was right at the top of our radar screen. And obviously, you know, Indianapolis has got a great reputation. The ease here in Indianapolis, the convenience in Indianapolis, the cost efficiency, just this is a great, great convention city, as well as the hospitality. So we were really, really keen and strong on Indianapolis. The question was trying to come up with dates, and that was a challenge for, you know, obviously that was a challenge for all these cities. You had to take into consideration where each local jurisdiction and each state was in terms of how this pandemic was unfolding and how they were handling it and managing it, et cetera, et cetera. So as I said, you know, it was the big uncontrollable for us. You know, there's something that was beyond our control. We had nothing. We couldn't do anything to impact it in any way. We could only control the things that we needed to control. And we knew that Indianapolis had the right, we had enough hotels. As I said before, it had the reputation. And we were watching the way Indiana and Indianapolis was, how you were faring here related to the pandemic. The other important factor was we knew that when the NCAA made that decision to hold the entire tournament here in Indianapolis, that was like, whoa, that's a big deal. That was a big deal. Once we found out there were dates beyond May that could be supplied to us by Visit Indy in June, we jumped on it and said, okay, we're gonna make the right bet with the right city. And I think hopefully it all turns out we're able to get here and execute a successful and safe show. And we paid attention very closely to what was going on here in the spring related to the NCAA. And, you know, it was brilliant, brilliant execution.
Let's take a quick break to hear from our sponsor, Resultant. This is the IBJ podcast.
The right data and technology solution can transform your business. KSM Consulting is now Resultant and still passionate about solving problems no one else can. Still collaborating with our clients to find the best answer, not the easy answer. Visit Resultant.com to see what's possible for your organization.
We're going to rejoin the conversation between IBJ hospitality reporter Mickey Shuey and John Downs, the CEO of the group that organized the Sweets and Snacks Expo that took place at the Indiana Convention Center last week.
So what sort of things were you looking at specifically in the spring and even as far back as late last year as kind of the factors that made your decision, that led you to make this decision?
Yeah, I mean, so
like what specifics?
Yeah, good. So the specifics on that, one was we were, you know, following that CDC tracker, you know, on a daily, weekly basis, okay, what was happening. And so that was really, really important to us. Number two, we were taking the pulse, okay, we were taking the pulse of our ecosystem. We were reaching out and engaging with our manufacturing members, our suppliers, our brokers, and our retailers, okay? And so as it relates to the metrics, obviously we couldn't do anything about what was going on related to what's happening externally in the pandemic, but we paid attention to that CDC tracker because you can find out exactly from that tracker how each jurisdiction is doing. But the other thing for us was we said, okay, we need to be driven by the right set of data and numbers related to what we're going to set up internally that we can control. So one metric was hotel occupancy, right? We're going to look at that and say, if we can approach 50% hotel occupancy, that's a win. We were looking at total attendees. If we can approach 50% of what the show was in 2019 related to total attendees, check that. We looked at retail buyers. If we can reach 50% retail buyers, get close to that number, check. Exhibitors, if we could get to 50% of our exhibitors compared to 2019, check. So what I said to our board was, okay, we've got our metrics. They agreed with us related to that because we were also looking at benchmarking other trade shows that were happening. There were a few other trade shows that were happening in the late winter and the spring. Now they weren't very big, but they were happening. There was one, some happening in Orlando, some in Vegas, some in Anaheim, whatever, in these other cities that have conventions, right? What we were finding out in terms of our due diligence, no one was approaching 50% at all. Everybody was in the like 30-35% range. It's kind of a benchmark. So that's why we said if we can get to 50, that's really successful. And so where we ended up with all that, we had a decision of go, no go, and Visit Indy was so great to work with. I got to give the team at Visit Indy just high marks. They give us high marks of being a very professional customer. I mean, Leonard told me yesterday, right in front of the governor and the mayor, John, you're the best customer we've ever dealt with. You have such a smart team. You have a, you know, professional team. They know what they're doing, but they're great people. And I think that's great. I love that accolade about you. And I said, well, we represent the products that are out there. And the governor and mayor were like very complimentary when Leonard was saying that to me about our relationship. And so I asked them to be flexible with us, to give us a little bit more time to move the decision process, that if it would be okay if we could get through mid-April before we could make a final decision. They said, yes, you can give us your decision. We'll give you some more time. Because as we were looking at everything, December was better than November. January was better than December. February was better than January. So on and so forth. March was much better than February on all the tracking for us. Both our internal numbers were increasing. Our projections of what we would see by the time we got here were coming into the territory that made sense. So all the data was going in the right direction.
I am curious, how close of a call was it on the go, no go? I mean, like, were you guys kind of like going back and forth in the days ahead, or was it more just like,
no,
like,
we were going back and forth. Oh yeah. We were going back and forth, and I was having conversations with members too. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we couldn't control, you know, some of the larger companies and larger members had COVID protocols and travel bans in place, as well as some of the larger customers. So we had to deal with that as well. It was a very, very challenging time. not easy. And, you know, what do they say about the old saying, it gets lonely at the top in terms of making the decision. And I was like, you know, made the decision, and I had some lonely days because I got to live with the decision that we made, right? Mm-hmm. The buck stops right here. So I had some many sleepless nights.
So after making that decision, though, I mean, what was the response from the community, the NCAA community? I mean, were they were happy? I mean, like, yes. were any of them like, we're never going to come back here because you went forward with this? Like, what was the general
response? Overall response was so supportive. I was thankful, and I felt blessed to have the support from the industry. Was just absolutely fantastic. Yeah, overall response was positive, as you can see. Yeah. Of what we've got out there, last several days, yeah.
And I did want to ask, I mean, how many people did you end up having register, and how many companies compared to years past, given the protocols?
So this year, number of exhibitors, what are we at, 460?
Yeah, 460.
We're at 460. We're normally at like 830.
Okay. So you're like right
there. Yeah. Yeah, we're right there. And normally we have 6,400, 6,500 buyers, and we're right around 3,000. Where our hotel occupancy is higher. We're above 50% on that. We're damn near 60%, quite frankly. Mm-hmm. And our overall attendees are around 8,000.
Okay.
When normally we're around 16 to 18,000.
Okay.
In a normal year. So we're kind of, We're kind of right on the mark in terms of our projections that we were looking at.
Now, I know that you always like to focus on what is here rather than what's not, but I do have to ask, are there any major exhibitors that would typically come that couldn't this year because of...
Yes, because of travel bans, yes. Yeah. Yes, there are quite a few larger companies that are normally here that didn't make it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Frito-Lay's not here. Mm-hmm. They're normally here. Kellogg's has a snack because they're normally here. General Mills is normally here. They're not here. ConAgra's not here. Mondelez is not here. Mm-hmm. This is the other big snack candy company. So they're kind of the, like, wouldn't you say, Chris, the big five that aren't here, those five?
That rounds out the list. I was just going to also mention, John, that we've talked about before, how, you know, some travel bans had restricted presence, like we're talking mm-hmm. about, or coming to exhibit. And then, you know, as the numbers improved, some of the large retailers that initially said, hey, look, we're not going to be able to make it because of our travel restrictions, right? Those restrictions within the companies and policies have reversed, so they are actually on the floor right now.
Yeah, they're here. A lot of the big retailers are here. They changed, which is fantastic, yeah. And we knew, I mean, we said that too. I think one of the things that we said, and everybody I know appreciates it out there, that the exhibitors and the retail attendees who have come to Indianapolis this year are very serious about getting back to business. So, you know, the people that have made the investment, effort, and time to come to Indianapolis, I think they're having a very good show this week. Because all the early returns in terms of my qualitative, you know, visits with all the different booths out there, it's all in the positive category.
So Chicago, obviously the main home for this event each year. My understanding, you guys have kind of have that long-term commitment in place, but
yep.
But what's the future look like given the response that each mm-hmm. side has kind of shared about this event being here and your feelings of the hospitality event in Indianapolis and frankly Visit Indy lauding you guys throughout the year, like about even taking that risk of coming here when there was so much up in the air still. So,
well, they want to, you know, hey, I had great conversations with Leonard and his team yesterday and Chris, and great conversations with the governor and the mayor, and they want us back. My point of view is that I think of what I've seen out there, there's a groundswell of support to come back to Indianapolis. What we do each year is we do a qualitative and quantitative survey mm-hmm. of our attendees, our retail buyers, and our exhibitors. So we'll go ahead and do that post Indianapolis show here shortly. I have all that data in front of us for our board meeting in July. We're tied up in Chicago for 22 and 23, but there are, you know, hey, there are creative solutions about how this all works. You know that in terms of dealing with state and local government from an economic development standpoint. Not sure there's a way for us to develop some sort of partnership to come back to Indianapolis sooner, but who knows? I mean, you know, who knows? We're open for 24. Indianapolis is at the top of the list for 24, no question, after this experience.
So with that, how does that play into what could happen with other events that are looking for spots? I mean, do you have regular conversations with other conventions and trade show leaders that are looking for locations? And if so, what are you going to tell them about Indianapolis?
Oh, I'm going to, you know, when people ask me about Indianapolis, I mean, Indianapolis has lived up to the reputation. It is a terrific, positive convention city. It has all the tangible and all the intangible criteria to make a terrific experience for an organization, for a convention or trade show. So that'll be my message to other colleagues in the trade show business. I've just been my expectations have all been exceeded in terms of this experience in Indiana. And I told the governor, I told the mayor that, I told the Visit Indy team the same thing. So we're off to a great start in terms of our relationship. I hope we're able to work something out when we get back to Indianapolis. That's my objective. So, I mean, I've got a lot of other stakeholders that I've got to check in with, mm-hmm. But at least, you know, one guy's opinion. I like Indy.
I did want to ask, in terms of the the cost to attend these. I mean, it's probably lower here, right? Because they're not having to get Ubers all over the place.
That's what I said. That's one of the, you know, one of the things that's on that tangible list. It's cost efficiency. Okay. And I've heard that from our exhibitors out there, just in terms of setting up their booth and the costs all related to, you know, the branding and the show, cost efficiency as it relates to hotel room rates, as it relates to, you know, the travel, entertainment, meals, et cetera. And the other thing I told the governor too, I mean, you've got a world class airport here too. So, I mean, that you factor that in, that the experience that, and I've been to Indianapolis a couple times in the past, and I told everybody, I said, the airport here is fantastic. It is a great, great airport. And it is a very, very short ride from the airport to downtown Indianapolis. Mm-hmm. So it's the ease of that is great. And then, you know, you can walk everywhere. I mean, this was just set up so well for a great convention experience.
Thanks again to Mickey and John. You can read a column that John Downs wrote about getting back to business in the most recent issue of IBJ. You'll also find a story by Anthony Shutley about Antron Brown, a 3-time NHRA Top Fuel champion who is breaking barriers in the sport by starting his own team. Brown, who is African American, announced that he will leave the comfy confines of superpower team Don Shoemaker Racing after this season to roll out AB Motorsports in 2022. Also, John Russell has a story about the efforts underway to stop cyber criminals from hacking into medical devices, both those that are used in hospitals and devices like pacemakers that are used in or by people. He reports that across the country, universities and large hospitals, including IU Health, have started setting up labs to try to keep their networks safe. Check the latest issue of IBJ to read those stories and more. You can also find all of our stories at IBJ.com. Of course, you can't access all those stories without a subscription, which you can purchase for just more than $2 a week. Thanks for tuning into the IBJ podcast. Mason King will be back next week.